You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Chewy has everything you need to get your barn ready for spring, whether you're battling mud, upgrading your grooming supplies, which I need to do, or stocking up on electrolytes and ulcer guard for unpredictable weather. Chewy delivers what you need right when you need it. Stay on track with vaccinations, dewormers, daily supplements with trusted brands, and the convenience of auto ship. Plus, enjoy free shipping on orders over $49. God, this show costs me money every week. It's never been simpler to keep your horse happy and healthy. Start your spring restock today at chewy.com/equine for a fully stocked barn and for life with horses. There's Chewy.
I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Samantha Clark from Lexington, Kentucky. And you are listening to Horses on the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you by Chewy. Good morning, Horsewell. This is a very special edition.
Yes, it is a very special edition. Samantha, thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it.
My absolute pleasure.
Now, this is a special edition in that Samantha and I are going to take you back memory lane. And I know a lot
way
of you.
Way back.
Way back. 18 years ago. We worked together for a long time, Samantha and I, in a couple of different shows, but the first show that we did together was the 2010 World Equestrian Games. It was called the 2010 Radio Show, and I don't know if you guys can see this, but I dug this out of the back of my closet. It's a shirt that actually has our logo on it from 2010 WEG.
That's like a humble brag that you can still fit into it, Glenn.
It's a humble brag that it's not moth-eaten, I think. And it made about five moves with me since then. We wanted to do this episode to honor a special person in our lives. And I will say that the Horse Radio Network would not be here. And I think our guest today probably doesn't realize this, but the Horse Radio Network would not be here without his help. He helped in a way that I don't even think he realized. And we'll get into that a little bit later. But I think without Dr. Lyons of Alltech, I wouldn't have made it past 2010 with the Horse Radio Network. So I do credit him and our guest today as part of the reason why. And I think, Samantha, you know why, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And the same goes for me.
Yeah. I mean, it was just so special a part of my podcasting career. And we'll get into that a little bit too. But today we're going to discuss how Dr. Lyons of Alltech was crucial to the game's success in 2010 and the evolution of the Horse Radio Network. And we're going to be joined by a good friend of ours from Alltech, and we're going to get to that in just a minute. But first, let's set the stage. And I know a lot of you weren't listening then, and some of you probably 2010 World Equestrian Games weren't on your radar, but they really, I would venture to say, have been one of the most important equestrian events in the United States history, actually.
The legacy here in Kentucky, you can still see, you know, every single summer, the sport horse, the whole sport horse world has changed here every summer because of the arenas he built, because of the infrastructure. And that's, you know, it's still, people bought horse farms because they want to be here every summer. It's changed every, Lexington is, you even when you walk downtown and you still see memorabilia and you see the horses, and it's, it'll last forever here in Lexington. We won't ever forget.
So I had started the Horse Radio Network with the Stable Scoop Radio Show in 2008. And shortly after that, a mutual friend introduced Samantha to me. And I said, Samantha, you'd be a perfect podcast host. She went, what? What's a podcast? You were in
true
radio.
Story.
Yeah, I know. That's true. You were in radio. You knew what radio was. You were working with NPR back then, right?
Still am. Yeah. Still same people, same crew, same station.
So you were doing news back then, and you were covering the World Equestrian Games through the local NPR there in Lexington.
Yes.
And I said, one of the reasons that Jennifer and I moved to Lexington, Kentucky was to do a podcast about the World Equestrian Games. I knew when I started the network, I wanted to do one of those. So Samantha kindly agreed to actually do what we called the 2010 radio show. It was radio back then because nobody knew what a podcast was. We barely knew.
Yeah. I don't think I really understood what I was agreeing to, but I'm glad I did. But Glenn, where, like, how did you hear about podcasts and where did this idea come from for you?
I listened to one of the first podcasts out there. It was a show called Twit, This Week in Tech. Leo Laporte did it. And it was one of the first podcasts that ever came out. So I was listening to him and I said, you know how I never like to be second to do things. I always like to be first to do things. I said, well, I'm going to start the first podcast in the horse world and I'm going to start a network. And eventually I want that network to be big enough that I can sell it someday for my retirement. And ironically, that's what happened. Now, it took a lot longer for podcasting to become a thing than we thought it would, but it finally did after all those years. But we were in the early days. No one knew what a podcast was. Nobody knew how to listen. The iPhones had just come out. So smartphones had just come out, which allowed it to be easier to listen to a podcast. Before that, you had to listen on your computer and download it to your computer and then to your iPod. So It was the very early days. And that plays into this story a little bit with Dr. Lyons, too, as we go down this story. So you and I started it. We actually did 124 episodes of that show. It was a lot. It was hard to believe we did it for 2 years before we started. We did two years worth of shows before the WEG.
But I think that's what was so great about it in hindsight. And we were so clever without even realizing, because people were so invested by the time we actually got to WEG.
Yeah.
They not only knew us, but we had a spotlight rider for each discipline. And I think we rode along also with All Tech and all the events they did locally. And we met, we talked to we really examined every single detail about WEG leading up to it, which I think was interesting for people, maybe not even horsey people, but just general local people and event people. And
we went to every press conference and party that had food or drink. That was our rule. If it has food or drink, we're going. And we did. We hit most of them. You know, I have to mention, too, Kentucky Performance Products, even back then, was our main sponsor. I mean, Karen believed in us and podcasting before it was a thing. So I got to thank Karen and Kentucky Performance Products. We wouldn't have been able to do that show without her. She was a critical part of it. So we went to everything. There were a ton of press conferences and events and things around Lexington for the 2 years leading up to it. And we went to them all. We saw them building everything. You especially saw everything at the horse park because you used to walk there every day with your dog. Yeah.
Yep. And I still do. The course designer at Kentucky 3 Days, he literally runs and hides when he sees me coming.
Here she comes again. She can have more questions.
Like, oh, God, no.
Not that woman. So, you know, when we first heard about All Tech was when they became a sponsor of the World Equestrian Games. And I don't remember the first event we went to with them, but it was one of the early ones, I think. I'm pretty sure. And that's where we met our guest. Even before we met Dr. Lyons of All Tech, we met Susanna. And we just hit it off with Susanna immediately, and I'm going to bring her in. Susanna Elliott, now she's a big boss now. She didn't have the office she has now back then. All Tech's Chief Marketing and Communications Officer. Susanna, back then you were just in marketing, right?
Yes, I had just been put in charge of All Tech's sponsorship of the games in terms of PR. And that was only a year into working for All Tech. I had just finished a year circuit working as an assistant to Dr. Pierce Lyons, which was an adventure, as you might imagine.
Do you remember how we met? It must have been at one of the events or something.
I feel like it could have been one of the Equine News and Brew series. We hosted all of these lead-up conversations about the games at our brewery and distillery, and we would have the Kentucky Bourbon Barrel Ale, and we'd have a few guest speakers, and I feel like it could have been one of those.
We hit it off.
We met before that. I think Glenn reached out to you, and we were assigned to you, and you were very generous and gave us the time of day, and then we never left you alone after that and just showed up everywhere.
Well, I would have gladly picked up the assignment. I love how you put that.
I think it was true though, actually. Did you have any idea what a podcast was before we showed up at your door?
You know, it was just emerging on that communications front. And I honestly think that that is what attracted Dr. Lyons to you all and to his belief in what you were doing, because it was maverick, just like he was. And it was against the grain, but it was a way of telling engaging stories, which if you knew Dr. Lyons, you knew that he was one part scientist, but even more of a storyteller. That Irish DNA ran hot in his veins.
I love that. I think that really encapsulates him. And especially when you said a bit maverick, because also he was incredibly loyal to us. I mean, I'm sure to everyone, but to us especially, because you know, we got in, not into trouble, but no one really took us seriously. But the fact that Dr. Lyons had our back spoke volumes. It was like having a little sort of golden ticket in our back pocket.
It was, well, because you were doing something different. And I think that was his experience of his entire career. And so when he spoke of the two of you and of Horse Radio Network, there was always a bit of a twinkle in his eye, because he knew you were up to something, and that it was with your passion and your enthusiasm, it was going to lead somewhere that I think he wanted to be along on the journey.
Well, tell us a little bit about his history and how, you know, if you got to kind of give us the Reader's Digest version, because we could spend hours on this topic.
Yes.
His history of the beginning of Alltech and how that came about.
Right. So it's very fitting that we're doing this the day after St. Patrick's Day, actually, because he's an Irishman, and he was the first Irishman to receive a formal degree in brewing and distilling, if you can believe that. a degree that many, many people probably would enjoy having. But he actually came over to the United States with his young family in the late 1970s. He was on a distinguished scientist visa. It was during the fuel ethanol boom, and he was helping farmers with another business. And originally, it was going to be a three-year term. Just yesterday, Mrs. Lyons was telling me that she fully expected to head home to Ireland after 3 years. And yet, here she is today, because he founded his own business in 1980, named Alltech, after their oldest daughter, Aoife Louise Lyons, and because it was first in the alphabet, letter A. And he founded it with $10,000. And what he saw was an opportunity to apply his understanding of yeast fermentation to the gut of an animal and to improve the digestive processes. Everything that we do really began and started with yeast fermentation. And he, though, was a very committed scientist. He worked quickly with universities to establish mode of action for why these products worked, and eventually grew a global business that today serves customers in 140 countries. We're a $2 billion business working across all different species, everything from your dogs and cats and your horses to cattle and production pork and poultry and aquaculture.
How did they end up in Lexington?
I think that was part of his original placement, was in this general area. But Lexington, they had the choice between Louisville and Lexington, and they chose very wisely for those of us who are Lexington fans, partially because it reminded them of Ireland. It's the rolling hills, the stone fences, the people. It very much reminded them of home.
Samantha?
Yes. No, I was going to say, I do remember you giving us a tour around Alltech one day, and I had no idea how vast and how wide the reach was. I think the last stop, when I was pretty exhausted and my brain really couldn't take much more in, and you were still like, here we're now at the aquaculture, you know, the fish farm. I mean, it was incredible. It just, nothing was sort of beyond his vision.
I still have nightmares over those fish tanks, I have to say, though. That was something. And, you know, we used to make fun of him. You know, the other thing, he was so good because you could tease him about stuff and he was okay with it.
I loved it. Yes.
Dippin' Dots was another one. We used to tease him about Dippin' Dots all the time.
No, you are exactly right. Dippin' Dots was an invention here within Alltech. They were experimenting with a bit of ice cream, and then it became its own business, which again, Dr. Lyons supported, Kurt Jones. And today we all also work in crop science as well. A lot of focus on the soil microbiome, soil health, with biologicals for crop production. And so the business has continued to grow and evolve, but it was all centered on, you know, big vision and dreams and passion. And that's what he saw on Horse Radio Network. And I think that's what he saw in the games as well.
Well, that was my next question. Was he a horse guy at all?
No, and that's the kicker of it all. He was not. It was more, I think, the fact that this was an opportunity to demonstrate the importance of nutrition in animal performance, number one. But number two, it was happening right here in his backyard in Kentucky. And he was passionate about Kentucky and bringing Kentucky to the world and the world to Kentucky. And so what better opportunity than the first time ever that these World Equestrian Games were coming outside of Europe for the very first time to the U.S.
And so he did it. Would he have done it if it was held in Dallas, or was it because of the Lexington thing?
I think it was very much because of the Lexington connection and this opportunity to really showcase our brand in our backyard and host the world. It was something that he was very, very proud of. And we still are today with our corporate headquarters. We regularly bring in people, leaders in agribusiness and other industries into Lexington. And it's something we're very, very proud to showcase.
Yeah. I mean, not only did he host the world, but he hosted the very best in the world. I mean, the world championships, I think, you know, maybe even more so than the Olympics, because it's just the world championships of all those horse disciplines. Plus you have all eight disciplines. And like you said, Susanna, for the first time ever outside Europe, I mean, it was such a massive undertaking and such a incredible vision for him to sort of understand that already. When you look back, like now we take it for granted. We've got the Alltech Arena, the Rolex Stadium, all the infrastructure, but none of that was there. And that was largely due to Alltech that we have it now.
Yeah, and I love what you're bringing up, the moment taking us back, because I think that was part of what we faced in that lead up to the Alltech FER World Equestrian Games. Was Lexington was very much horse country, but it was a different kind of horse country in large part. We understood racing. And here we were talking about eight world championships of equestrian sport. You listed them off and people kind of gave you blank stares because they had no idea
what is
really
vaulting,
what driving was, what reining was. And so there was a massive education curve for many folks as we began talking about the games. And so I literally remember running courses here at our headquarters where we invited the public in to learn about the eight world championships of equestrian sport. And I think that's the type of role too that your show played in helping to excite people around the games. And it was an excitement that we had to maintain for a very long time too. If you'll remember those countdown clocks, it was a marathon, not a sprint, to keep people engaged, to have them buying tickets, preparing the community, just buying into this concept of something that they had never experienced, even one event of, let alone the entire World Equestrian Games happening on one single site as well. That was massive. And I think now looking back, it's one of the things that really stood out for those 2010 games was the fact that the entire community, all eight world championships and everyone who supported those events were together in one spot, one location. It was truly magical.
And it's been proven since how difficult it is to do and how difficult, even more difficult to do it as well as Alltech did it. And you know, it doesn't happen anymore because of that reason. So, you know, in hindsight, we did brilliantly. Lexington, the horse park, Alltech. It was amazing. It really was. I don't think we realized at the time.
And no, you are exactly right. And I think what I saw was the entire community really coming together across Lexington. And it was something that became a point of pride. And I will never forget that opening night where the sky just put on a show. If you remember that brilliant pink sunset.
I'm getting goosebumps.
I know. It like, when I look back, it gives me cold chills because it was like the manifestation of everything you dreamed coming to life on that night. And I think the entire equestrian community that had been building to that time, the entire Lexington community, the entire Altec community, it was just unreal to see it all coming to life that night. And we were just bursting with pride. But it was something that, you know, Glenn, I think you were alluding to the fact that Dr. Lyons was all in on these games. And he was fiercely committed to making sure that they were a success, to the point that by the time we got down to the final months leading up to these games, I don't think there was a person at Altec who was not working for the games, including like our VP of operations was out there working on fences, and people from the Altec quality team may have been out there working on parking lots. Literally everyone was all in.
There wasn't any supplements made for a year after for that year. No supplements were produced at Altec. You know, I don't want to sugarcoat it though. The run up to the games with the Kentucky Horse Park and being state funded and all of that, it was not easy and it did not go smoothly. Okay. The building of the complexes and the stadiums and all of that was down to the last minute and the last wire.
And I think, you know, when we talk about just the context of the time, Altec at that time, I had just started. And I remember, you know, I was learning the PR and communication.
You should have seen her eyeballs some days.
It's quite true. It was trial by fire. But we had a turnover of like $500 million at that time. And our equestrian business was like not even on the mark. Like it was like less than 2%. Okay. So when he made this initial commitment of a $10 million sponsorship, I mean, think about that $10 million sponsorship, $500 million turnover. I mean, that is just massive. And we had never done anything even close to that before. And so this was something that, once Dr. Lyons, though, had made that commitment, he was going to ensure that it was a success. And I think he became the greatest salesperson for the Altec FEI World Equestrian Games. And so, you know, we ran things like the Commonwealth Club, where we had companies across agriculture globally who were putting up money to bring kids to the games from schools throughout Lexington. And that's something that to this day I hear about. From kids who had that experience and how eye-opening it was, not only to horse sport, but we had a huge display there about science and agriculture. And just, it was, again, it was such a point of pride, I think, for kids who were growing up in this area to see all of this come to life and that experience firsthand of equestrian sport and of science and of agriculture. They haven't forgotten it.
And because it went on for so long, it was 2 and a bit weeks, I think, and we had things every evening, concerts downtown, you had the whole Rupp Arena. I mean, it was incredible. Even if you couldn't get out to the horse park, if you weren't volunteering or working at the horse park, you still got to feel like a real part of the games. And that's, I think, another part where he was so clever. It was, I think, maybe because he wasn't just totally horse tunnel visioned about it all. It was also Lexington is, you know, Kentucky, we're known for great music, for great bourbon, for this, come downtown, eat and celebrate, go to a concert. It was, yes. I mean, really fantastic.
And that, you know, that was always something that Dr. Lyons, he was fun. He was fun.
Yes.
And he was passionate about his work, and his work didn't stop on weekends or holidays because for him it was fun. But he also enjoyed a good time, especially a good time over a Kentucky ale or Kentucky bourbon barrel ale. But good music. Again, I think it was that Irish spirit. And he wanted people to in Lexington have a good time to make friends and to celebrate the culture of the home that he had adopted from Ireland.
You know, he was one of those people too, and there's very few people in business that can do this. He would listen to you I mean, when you talked, he was focused. He was in the moment listening. You know, his mind may have been doing 100 different things in the background, but he did listen. And that was one of the things that impressed us so much, Samantha and I, is no matter who you'd see him talking to, he was listening. And he was filing that, you know, in the back.
100%. And I can tell you, having served as his assistant before I took on the games PR, he would have these little black books. And so after he'd have a conversation with you, Glenn, he'd go to his little black book and he'd write down the insights from the conversation. Yikes. And even little things.
I want to see the book.
I don't want to see the
black books. We do. And that's what, you know, that is what made him a good salesman, though, because he was a friend first. And he remembered those special and unique details about people and would follow up on them. I saw him do it countless times. And that was what was so memorable and special.
So we came to you. Samantha and I had this idea because we were partial to the para group and the Paralympics group, and we knew a lot of them, and we covered para as well as we did, you know, the everybody else, and we came to you and said, because back in that day, you guys have to remember, YouTube was really not a thing, and Facebook had just started, and we wanted to do a live video fundraiser for the Paralympic team, and there was no way Samantha and I were going to do that ourselves. We just didn't. Nobody had the technology, and we thought, well, Altec must know something about this, right? So we went to you. You went to Dr. Lyons, and Dr. Lyons graciously said, we have a studio. We have a TV studio. You guys can do your fundraiser here one night. And, I mean, we took over the place for an entire evening. We raised over $10,000 doing a live feed when that was almost impossible. It was so cool.
I remember that. And it was an honor for us to be a part of that, because that was the first time that I think para was being included in the World Equestrian Games. And how special to be part of supporting those athletes' journey to their first World Equestrian Games.
And it was nerve-wracking because, again, none of us knew really what we were doing. No. Samantha had to host it while we didn't know what we were doing. You were great.
I completely blocked it out. I can't remember hardly any of it.
You were terrific.
I think that was the story of the entire games, though. It was like a do the next right thing, you know, open to any and all good ideas, because none of us quite knew exactly what we were doing with those games. But a success they were.
I want to get into why you saved the Horse Radio Network, and I include you in that. But first, I want to give somebody else credit that believed in us from the very beginning and still a friend today, and that's John Nicholson, who was the head of the Kentucky Horse Park. John was like Dr. Lyons. He saw, I don't know what he saw in podcasting, or he just liked Samantha and I think that was a little bit of it. But he would, anytime we'd ask for something, he'd help us. He was really good with us, just like Dr. Lyons was. And, you know, we were nothing. I wanted to give him credit because we still talk to him today and he runs Old Friends and he does a great job. But this to the point that we applied for press passes. I don't know if you remember this, but we applied for, and we were accepted for press passes, and they were hard to get. And nobody knew who we were, and the press office certainly didn't know what a podcast was. So we get there to pick up our press passes. This is all very formal. Remember this? I forget, it was in an office somewhere. We went to pick up our press passes. They didn't have them. And then they said to us basically that we were not approved for press passes. And we were like, well, what the hell do we do now? We just did 2 years worth of shows and we can't cover the events because we didn't have tickets. We were counting on the press passes. And what we did, what Samantha's idea was to call who? Samantha, do you remember who we called?
No.
Susanna. We called Susanna and we said, hey, look, we can't get in. And did you go to Dr. Lyons or did you get us in then?
I cannot remember, but I distinctly remember when that email came in, and I just remember making a few connections and making it happen, because you guys were already, to your point, you had been phenomenally covering this lead up to the Altec FEI World Equestrian Games, and there was no way that you weren't going to be there.
Well, I think, Glenn, and you can cut this maybe, but I feel like we didn't get approved for credentials, but we didn't know until we went to pick them up.
That's right. That's correct.
And then I think I was furious. And
you were.
I don't think I reached out to Stan. I think you did. I was like, fine. They don't want us to move.
I haven't seen. I've known Samantha now for almost 20 years. I haven't seen her mad too often, but she was really mad that day. Her Britishism came out that day in that office.
Well, because also it was nothing to do with Alltech. It was completely, you know, that's all the sort of inner workings of God knows who, the press people, FEI. But anyway,
yes,
they obviously did not see the value in us. Well, thank God for Alltech and for you, Susanna, and for Dr. Lyons.
Yeah, we would not be here today if it had that one little thing is what I credit to saving the Horse Radio Network. I really do. That one thing that wasn't much for you to do, probably, but meant the world to us. And then what happened was they didn't know what to do, so they gave us an all parks pass. Do you remember that? We didn't have a media pass. We could get in anywhere. We got in places the media couldn't get into.
I know. We could have been in the stables. We could have been doing all sorts of things. We didn't know how lucky we were. We should have been doing a lot more.
And then I did, the first day we were there, I saw John Nicholson, and I told him what happened, and he said, well, I would have gotten you past too. So, I mean, it worked. Thank you, Susanna, for that. I mean, that means a lot to us. We still remember it to this day. So thank you again for getting us in. And that now we're at the games. And I will say, we had so much fun. It's one of my fondest memories of covering. And Samantha, you've been to a ton of events, but that was unique.
Nothing compares. I feel like I was on a high for the whole 2.5 weeks. Just everything from, everything was just, it was so much fun. And everyone, I think, like you said, Susanna, everyone felt like they'd mucked in and was sort of invested in it and felt that they had some little part of it. And it was really, really great.
We did 15 episodes. We did an episode a day. Every night we would go into Lexington and record those episodes. We had a producer then, I think, helping us too. But we would record what we could during the day, which was archaic at the time. And then we would go. And then the other thing is they had a whole bunch of side events, horseball and things like they had demonstration events that were happening. We covered those too. I had the whole horseball team from Canada in my house the one night eating Chinese. And there were like 20 of them in our house one night eating Chinese. I mean, there were just some really cool, we met so many new people, clinicians and things like that at those games as well. But for Samantha and I, we just got to run around and watch everything. It was the coolest experience.
It felt no one else was really doing what we were doing. There was all the traditional media, but no one else was just really being like an everybody, you know, being like a fan. And we got to talk to, you know, I remember, it's so funny, I talked to Brett Parbury, who was representing Australia in dressage. Have not seen him since. He was at Aiken in February this year. And he looks exactly the same as we all do. And it's like, hello. I said, you probably don't remember, but we talked at the Wild Equestrian Games in Kentucky. And he didn't remember me, but he did remember the game. So we talked about that a little bit. I remember sitting next to, we had all the shuttles. Do you remember the shuttles to get everyone around the park?
Yes.
And I sat next to George Morris, of all people. And I'd only ever heard about him growing up. And I was a little, and I've never told anyone this before, but I'll say it now. And so I was just wandering around. I had that little, I think it was a tape recorder or a video recorder, some little gadget. And I was like, oh, hello, can I do an interview with you? And because everyone had just said yes. Everyone was like, okay, what do you want to talk about? And he said, what? And I said, oh, I'm doing a podcast with Glenn the Geek. Can I talk to you? And he was like, what a stupid question. Of course not. And he was so horrible and rude. That was the only one time that I was slightly crushed. But otherwise, everyone was really into it, loved it. I think we had people following from Australia, from New Zealand. I mean, it was just so much fun.
Do you remember being the crazy ride with Lucinda Green one night in a golf cart?
Yes.
There were just some wild, wild things that happened.
And we had Hamish and the two Australian guys who came over. Do you remember that?
Yes. Yeah. And I would go, Susanna, we would see Susanna occasionally, although they kept her very busy. So we would see her occasionally. And I remember, Susanna, you needing hugs a few times during the 15 days.
No wonder.
It was a long stretch. But actually, I kind of actually remember the high for the most part. It was... they went by in a flash to a certain extent. And do you remember, like, the weather was just glorious. Like, you never mm-hmm. know what you're going to get at the end of September, beginning of October. And maybe there was rain a couple days, but for the most part, I remember beautiful, beautiful weather.
I remember, yeah. Samantha, we went to the start of the endurance race, and we were both in shock because you would think the start of a 100-mile race, they would just saunter on out and head out. Hell no, it was like a sprint. I mean, they all took off bumping each other, and it was the craziest thing I'd ever seen. It was like, are you kidding me? They're a 100-mile race. It was nuts. And then I used to go up to we did a lot of walking.
Used to escape. You used to escape. If I didn't know where Glenn was, you'd go and find him watching the vaulting.
I'd go up to
sitting in the shade with a lemonade.
I could take a nap up at a vaulting in the afternoons. It was so quiet in the Alltech Arena. It was so nice.
Because I think they were last to go, so they hadn't actually started competing. They were maybe just practicing. And Glenn would go up and pretend to be doing it.
Samantha got very mad at me the one day for disappearing for 4 hours. And then my wife was working, who's over there. Jennifer says hi, by the way, Susanna. She was working at one of the booths, selling for one of the companies there. So she was there the whole run as well. So, you know, the games were a blast. After the games, how did Dr. Lyons feel about it? We never did ask you that question.
Oh, goodness. You know, I think it revolutionized, in a kind of a quiet way, it revolutionized how we looked at the world and how we looked at ourselves. There was a new confidence that came into the business that, wow, if we could do something like this, which was totally outside of our lane, working together, what could we do now? And I think he would often have this phrase of, like, he would say, why are my dreams for you bigger than your dreams for yourself? And to a certain extent, I think he almost internalized that coming out of the games. And he went on to do a number of acquisitions shortly after the games. We actually grew the equestrian part of our business through a series of those acquisitions that included a number of companies that had horse feed, Master Feeds up in Canada, Guabi down in Brazil. And then even after his passing, we acquired Mrs. Pasture's Cookies for Horses.
Which was our favorite, they were a sponsor of ours at that time, Mrs. Pasture's.
They're awesome. Yeah. And they're celebrating their 40th anniversary this year. And we've extended their line with a number of new offerings that bring in all tech technologies. But I think it just changed the confidence across the business and in a bit of a quiet way. And unfortunately, though, he passed away in March 2018. So again, it's, you know, not only fitting that we're recording the day after St. Patrick's Day, but also as we remember him 8 years after his passing and the legacy that he left, because he did leave us abruptly. He had a heart surgery in November 2017. He did well in that heart surgery, but it was in his recovery. He had an interaction with a medication that just shut down his lungs. And so the business passed on earlier than expected to the second generation, his son, Dr. Mark Lyons, who was at the games. And at the time of Dr. Lyons' passing, he was wrapping up, I think, almost 7 years in China, leading the business there. And so it continues on and has grown and thrived under Mark's leadership. He coined a new phrase that is our purpose and vision, working together for a planet of plenty, which I think just builds on so much of the roots that his father had planted and the vision that he had. And it's just very collaborative in nature, which is, again, so much of what we saw at the games too. We saw that power and that value in bringing together a lot of diverse people behind one mission.
Still giving so much to Lexington, like just talking about St. Patrick's Day, it's the All Tech St. Patrick's Day parade. And, you know, like that's now a 2-day festival. It's incredible and so much fun here in Lexington.
But it is. And Dr. Pierce Lyons' wife, Mrs. Deirdre Lyons, who co-founded the business with him, she personally helps plan that parade every year and personally plans the company float. It's something that they're again, very proud to call Kentucky and particularly Lexington their home.
What are some of your favorite memories of Dr. Lyons? How old was he when he passed, by the way?
72.
I thought he wasn't that old.
No. And the day he had the heart surgery, he had gone out for a run, which they couldn't believe because what they did was they found that he had significant blockage. I think like it was heavily blocked, but he again, there was nothing that he wasn't going to do. No. He set his mind to. And there are many, many stories with Dr. Lyons. And I think for me personally, it was just the overriding sense of belief and confidence that he had in people. You were given jobs that were probably well beyond your credentials at the time. For me, that included, you know, Susanna, why don't you represent and do PR for our sponsorship of the Alltech FEI World Equestrian Games? I was young. I was very young.
You were in your 20s, weren't you?
I was. I celebrated my 25th birthday at the games, during the game.
So, I don't know. I don't know how well you celebrated it, but you turned 25.
Right. No, it was fun. I'll always remember that. But in terms of a games memory with Dr. Lyons, I told you he was a storyteller, and he also had his antics. And this was one of the first times that Alltech was having media interviews with mainstream media. And in that case, he was doing an interview with a CNN reporter who was there with her producer and videographer. So I'm there in my PR role while he does the interview. And then he just grabs the two of them, loads them in his golf cart, and takes off to God knows where. Okay. And a couple hours later, I get a call from a producer at CNN headquarters in Atlanta saying, we've lost touch with our reporter and videographer at the games. And their last known location was with you. Where are they? That may have been one of the times, Glenn, that I needed a hug, because I took off on a golf cart trying to find these lost CNN reporters that Dr. Lyons had just kidnapped.
So. I'm sure they're still telling that story today, too, though, and loving it.
No doubt.
He probably had him back at the bar at the tent, which...
That's where I found that. That is exactly where I found that.
Samantha and I might have made our way to that bar a few times, too. So he obviously has left a legacy, obviously for you more than anybody, you know, because it was so personal and you guys worked so closely together during that time and after, obviously. And now you're like the big boss over there at marketing. You have a much bigger office, by the way. We're doing this on video and your offices. You had a little office back then. Ain't little anymore. So
I don't even think I had an office, Glenn. I had like a little desk.
You did. I hit her in the corner. It's like, oh, there's Susanna. Go talk to her. Congratulations on your success.
Thank you very much. Thank you. And it's, I feel extraordinarily blessed, extraordinarily lucky to have lived the experiences that I have lived. And that's a huge credit, not only to Dr. Lyons, but to all the friends along the way, like yourselves.
And Samantha, I think I might have mentioned this to Samantha a long time ago, but I think it's more true today, 18 years later. You just remind me of Reese Witherspoon so much. Have you ever gotten that before?
No, that's a new one. Okay.
That's a compliment, by the way. I mean, Reese is great, but you just have always reminded me of the Reese Witherspoon. And you had a family?
I do. So I now have three daughters.
Three?
Three. And interestingly, the first one was born exactly a year after the games.
So I remember
she was
that.
October 5th, 2011 baby. So I remember being in the delivery room and thinking, oh my goodness, one year prior, I was in the midst of a media tent. What a difference. What a difference. But, some of them have enjoyed doing some riding, but, I'm trying to keep them on paths that maybe don't cost quite as much. They fall in love with horses.
Did you ever picture back 18 years ago, or now 16 years ago, we were at the Kentucky Horse Park, that you would be in the position you are today at Alltech?
No, but I'm also, I think I've just enjoyed every day at a time. Altec has always been a place where there's always a new adventure. This is now 18 years for me within the business. I have never once been bored. There's always been a new story to tell, a new adventure to take. One of the things that we're in the midst of right now, we've just recently finished a full-length feature documentary exploring the idea of a world without cows. So we sent videographers around the world for 2 years. It was inspired by a Super Bowl commercial of an oat milk. From there we said, okay, well, what would the world look like? Are we better off in a world with no cows? And so in the time that since we finished up that documentary, we've received 15 different film festival laurels. And wow. After you and I finished chatting, I'm getting on the phone to talk to a distributor. And we're looking forward to hopefully broad distribution this coming summer.
That's incredible. So we'll see it at the Kentucky Theater.
I hope so. I hope you can even watch it at home and share it with all your friends too. So, you know, it is, when I think about just those opportunities throughout my career, it's been so much fun. But I think even what Dr. Lyons was also passionate about, and that is that impact, having an impact, taking the time and the opportunities that we have to make a difference in the world around us.
Well, this has been fantastic. It is so good to catch up with you after all these years. I don't know if Dr. Lyons' wife remembers us, but please say hi for us, because we met her several times too during that whole process. And you know, we just appreciate your friendship and, you know, how welcoming you were from day one. You know, it was just, yeah. As I said, yes, we wouldn't be here without you and Dr. Lyons. So, you know, all those years later.
Well, congratulations on the great success that you guys have experienced. It made my week, it made my month, it made my year to have a note from you all to check back in, and to just look again at, you know, how long running the show has been, how far its reach has been. That's just extraordinary. So credit to you and to having a dream that you pursued with all your might and with passion, and people paid attention to it and they loved it.
Dr. Lyons and I might have had a little bit in common, and that's stubbornness. Well, thank you again. We really appreciate you being here, Susanna. And, you know, I wanted to make sure that before my run was done in podcasting, that we documented how important Dr. Lyons is to the horse world and to the horse world in the United States. And I hope we did that today.
Yeah, I know you did honor to him today. It's just, even for me as a team member who worked closely with him, it means a lot to hear the stories that you shared and the impact that he had on your lives and your show, and truly special. So thank you.
And thank you, Samantha, for two runs of the World Equestrian Games. The second run was much different than the first run, but we did
yes.
it. We had fun.
It was all fun.
And thank you, Samantha, also. We really appreciate it. Hey, everybody, we're going to continue we're on a break for the Horse Lovers Cruise in Alaska, so we're off for a couple of weeks. But as I promised, we're doing all new episodes that we pre-recorded for you, so there'll be no, hopefully, best ofs during this run while Jamie and I are out. And then we're going to be back on June the 1st with brand new episodes once again. So we hope you enjoyed today, and we hope that those of you that weren't really involved in the 2010 WEG understand a little more of what happened and how it all came into being. Have a terrific day. Thank you, Susanna. Thank you, Samantha.